Hello, everyone. Coach Kathy here. Hello, Christy. Let me get myself situated here. I'll open up this chat. Y'all, it's been a day. So if you are here because you read the calendar, you know that it is me doing the How to Feel the Hard Stuff call tonight. If you are here because you got an email that says it's the nighttime overeating and overdrinking call, welcome. We can coach that too. Because honestly, those two things do go together. A lot of times when you're overeating or overdrinking or nighttime eating, sometimes you're trying to hide from an emotion. Sometimes you're stressed. Sometimes you just don't want to feel. Sometimes you want to zone out. Sometimes you're comfort seeking. So the concepts do kind of go together. So I am extremely happy to coach anything you need to coach tonight. Okay. So all you have to do is raise your hand. I don't have any hands raised yet. All you have to do is raise your hand. If you have a question for me, go ahead and throw it in the Q&A. That's fine too. And we'll see what the night brings. I'm really happy to be here though. I'm glad to be with you to talk about, anything feelings related, nervous system related, nighttime eating and overdrinking related, whatever you got, I'm ready for. So while we have people coming in, and until we have someone decide they want to get coached tonight, I thought I would talk a little bit about rest. Because rest is actually something that I find a lot of people don't get enough of. And I'm not talking about going to bed at night. I'm talking about different kinds of rest. How do I raise my hand? Pamela, at the very bottom of your screen. Where is it, y'all? Where's the hand raise anymore? That's a really good question. Oh, Alexis has raised her hand. I can't raise my hand. The bottom of your screen, there should be a place where you raise your hand. If it's not at the bottom of the screen, will somebody help her out in the chat? Because I was just looking for it. I can't raise my hand because I'm the host. Okay. So let's talk real quick about the seven types of rest. So when you find yourself urgy and you're not really hungry, especially in the middle of the afternoon, chances are your brain needs some kind of rest. If you're trying to nighttime eat and you're urgy for nighttime eating, chances are your brain just needs a little bit of rest or your body needs a little bit of rest. So let's just run through the seven types of rest real quick and then we'll get to coaching. Okay. First one is physical rest. This is either sleeping or napping or maybe gentle stretching or yoga, something that gives your physical body an opportunity to rest. Okay. Second one is mental rest. That's a break for your overworked mind. It's taking pauses during the day to clear your head, brain dumping or journaling, anything like that. So we have physical rest and mental rest. Third one is emotional rest. Let me move my screen over a little bit. This is relief from emotional labor, like people pleasing, right? When you are people pleasing, you are trying to access a particular emotion through someone else. So if you express your true feelings or spend time with people who don't drain you, you are giving yourself emotional rest. Number four is social rest. Us introverts know exactly what that means, right? This is recharging your relational energy, which means if you are drained being in a crowd, get some alone time, step outside, something like that, okay? Fifth one. This is one that's really important in the evening, creative rest. This is reconnecting to something in nature, art, music, knitting, doing puzzles, anything that creates coloring, anything that hits that creative bone in you can give you this creative form of rest. Number six, spiritual rest, feeling connected to something bigger than yourself. This can be prayer, meditation, acts of service, reflecting on purpose or meaning, a spiritual type of rest. And then the last one is sensory rest. This is giving your senses a break from constant stimulation through screens, noise, bright lights. Sometimes, thank you, Christy, sometimes our brains get overstimulated and we need sensory rest. Think about how good it feels to crawl in bed in a dark room. Okay, sometimes we need that too. So I want you to think about those different types of rest as you get urgy and ask yourself, when you ask yourself, what do I really need right now? It might be rest. So how can you fill those gaps with one of these seven types? If you have any questions about them, you can find me at Ask Coaches or in the Facebook group. Okay. All right, Pamela, you are first. Promoting you so we can talk, girl. So we can talk. Here she comes. Need you to unmute and turn your camera on. Trying to think while Pamela's coming up, I was trying to think of my favorite type of rest. I think the ones that I need most often are mental rest. I need to rest my brain sometimes because, coach a lot, right? I need social rest because I'm pretty introverted. So sometimes I need a quiet room or a place to rest my brain for a minute. A lot of times I always, when I'm talking to people about rest, I ask them, I don't have time to rest at work. And I'll say, do you go to the bathroom? Sometimes that can be your place for a little bit of social rest. Hello, Pamela.
Hello.
How are
I
you?
figured it out. I'm doing okay.
I am so proud of you because you were in that going, how do I raise my hand? I'm like, she gets it. She got it.
This is actually one of my first lives. So I've been a member for quite a few years, and I'm just like, I need to talk to Kathy tonight. So you are on my calendar, and here I am.
I'm so glad. What you got tonight? What can I help you with?
Okay, so I have an issue when I go to work. If there's food around, I kind of overindulge. And I've been doing really great. I've been planning. I had my vegetables packed. I had my fruit packed. And then last night, the day shift, I work as a nurse in a hospital and I work 12-hour shifts. And I typically work the night shift. And then the day shift had a potluck. And I walked in and there was like two pans of brownies and a pan of like some kind of Rice Krispie crisp. And they left them, and then all during the night, I snacked on them a lot.
Okay.
And I know in my thoughts that in the past, I've used food as taking care of myself. Like I take care of everybody else, and food was my way to take care of me. So I don't know if that, but at this point, I wasn't stressed. It was just they're there. And I don't know if it's old memories or old habits that all of a sudden it's like, it's there. I should eat it before somebody else does.
So when you're at home is and there are brownies on the counter, will you eat them then too? Is it the same kind of impulse or is it just at work?
If it's something new, then I would probably eat them. But I've been working very hard at not having them around. Or if I'm at, with around somebody else, like if I'm at the lake with my parents or somebody and they have food, I will go eat them.
Okay. So when we say this is my way to take care of myself or whatever, maybe it is, maybe it's not, right? Because you're actually this new piece of you, this new Pamela is taking care of herself by being really cognizant of when she's grabbing brownies, noticing it, getting coached on it, that kind of thing, right? So it's not, I don't know that it's really we go down that path so much as we think about in the moment, where does the impulse come from? Is it habit or is it emotional? Let's go with that question first.
I think last night it would probably be habit because nothing was triggering me. I've worked hard on, I used to have the things with I don't feel like I fit in, and I've worked really hard on that. And now I'm able to get to work, and even if people aren't talking to me, I usually work with typically four people on the night shift, and there's usually four or five people from the day shift. And if nobody's talking to me, I'm like, I'm okay. They're busy. They're in their own world. It has nothing to do about me. And I've worked through that. If we have a trauma come in, then yeah, I probably might eat. But at this point, there was nothing triggering me. So I'm guessing it's habit. It's there's brownies, I should eat them.
Okay. So when you think there's brownies, I should eat them. How does that, what, d tell me how it feels in your body. Is there excitement? Is there like, are you juiced up? You know, what's going on? What's going on there?
Part of me was like, I should just sneak them. Like, I should wait for somebody else to leave the room so they don't know how many I'm eating. But I don't know. I think it's just sight and eat. Like, I don't, like, I know they're going to taste good, but then I'm actually tasting it. I'm like, they don't taste that great. I mean, it's not like, oh my gosh, this is, the red velvet test. But
You
then,
need to go back for more.
exactly. An hour later, oh, there's some more there. Nobody else is in the break room. I should eat, take another little chunk. And again, it's just little chunks. I don't eat like, 4-inch piece of brownie. I eat
So
1-inch pieces of brownie.
when you go back, when you have that thought, that second thought, I should go back. There's nobody there. Why aren't you ping-ponging that with, well, you know, I had a bite and it wasn't that good. It wasn't like, and I'm really feeling pretty good. What is
I kind of did, and I still went for it. It's like, but it's there. I should eat
Okay. Well, this
it.
is good. This is good news because you're starting the ping pong, right? When you ping pong, Pamela, you always want that last voice to be the one that has your best interest in mind. Okay. So if you think about the old sitcoms that had the angel and the devil on your shoulder, right? You got the devil going, "There's brownies. We should get some. Nobody's in there." And the angel going, "Yeah, but it wasn't really that good. And we're not really triggered. We could just go to the next patient's room or go check a chart, but there's brownies," right? It's like you got two different voices in your head, right? So what you want is to continue the ping pong as long as you can until you've walked past the room and you know the voice on your shoulder is the one that's going, "Those brownies really weren't that good. You know, we could, if you're hungry, we can have a brownie, but is that how we want to spend our hunger time? You know, you see what I'm saying?"
Yeah, and I at one point in the night, I actually went. I'm like, okay, if I'm hungry, go get your vegetables. And I got my bucket of vegetables, and I chewed on those while I was churning. And then I think the other piece that adds to it is that by 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm tired, and I have to admit I wasn't as slept prepared yesterday when I went to work. So then I'm really tired, and it's like, oh, this will make me feel better, and I know it doesn't,
Well,
but
no, it does. But I want
well.
to tell you from a nervous system and a body sense perspective, we call that somatic in the body. It does make you feel better. Rhythmic chewing and swallowing is very regulating to your nervous system, whether you're above home base with high energy or below home base being fatigued or sad and low energy. That regulated chewing and swallowing or walking or getting a squish toy and squeezing it three times on each side, anything that's rhythmic like that is gonna, you're gonna feel better. Okay. It's just the eating piece of it has those unintended consequences, like habit formation around brownies and weight gain and or the absence of weight loss. Okay. So I want to acknowledge that that's part of the reason a lot of us are here, is that we feel better when we eat, you know, regardless of where we are on the nervous system ladder, above or below. But it's only because of that rhythmic thing. So that's why when I'm stressed, I go for a walk because that's rhythmic. When my I pulled out my crown, this squishy actually fits my hand better. When my client who has metastatic cancer is finished with a doctor's appointment, she does a squish ball because it's rhythmic, because it's tactile, you know, it's texture. So anything like that that you can replace with something else rhythmic is going to help you come back to toward home base. Does that make sense?
It does actually, yeah. Because I do drive, occasionally get up and go for a walk, like, okay, just move. And then it kind of just, in my brain, I'm like, yeah, look at how tired I am. I'm feeling my bone, like I'm
Yeah.
stiff. But
Yeah.
I like the idea of a squish toy. I'm like, I think I could find one of those and put them in my bag.
Yeah, a squish toy. She has putty sometimes that she'll roll around in her hands too. But the point is, understand when you're going into a night shift fatigued, I want you to think ahead of time, I might be urgy tonight. What am I going to do when there's brownies in the break room, or when I want to eat instead of chart, or I'm just going for a flyby? Because your body is going to send up hunger signals in order to keep up energy, even though that's not really what you need. Physiologically, this is what's so interesting to me. You probably know this. Physiologically, when you eat, energy is taken from the extremities into the midsection, right?
Digest it.
So, because it's needed for digestion. So there's not as much going on in the brain and in the extremities. So eating really doesn't make you feel better. I mean, or more energized, right?
True. It's good to put, that's another good ping pong to put in there. Like, it's not going to help, or.
Yeah. Or what it's going to do is you're going to get a sugar rush and then you're going to crash further, which is anytime you can tell yourself anything like that that makes sense, just remember that habit brain's in the background, but we always eat. Are you sure? Are you sure, Pamela? We should have a brownie. This is what we do. That logic brain has got to come in and go, thank you, habit brain. Thank you. Thank you. This is the ping pong. Thank you for letting me know this is what we always do tonight. I'm gonna try veggies instead, or I'm gonna try something else. I will say it's funny that you said, I'm gonna go get my veggies instead of a brownie. That wouldn't work for a lot of people. I'm glad it worked for you.
I think it was that chewing thing. It's like, it's that I have something in my hand and I'm putting it in. I think that helps. I've also tried the okay, I'm going to take my breaks and I'm going to actually go lay down for my half an hour lunch break instead of, charting during my break. Like, I'm going to physically check out.
And that's that physical rest that your body really probably does need, is that very first type of rest that I mentioned it might need. Now, if you go lay down for half an hour, are you going to be able to get back up? Are you a good when it comes to
Actually I can, and I can actually hear alarms going off. There's only three of us working, so obviously if something major happens, I need to be able to respond, and I can definitely do that. Because interesting, I can lay my head down on the desk and fall asleep in 2 seconds, and a call light goes off or a bed alarm and I'm up and moving. So it's kind of interesting.
You've trained yourself well. You've trained yourself.
I
So
also
go ahead.
thought of a protocol. Like, I was listening to Crin's 365 for today and said a work protocol. And I thought about exploring that a little bit more too. Like, would that help?
Yeah, that's a great idea. Somebody in the chat, this is interesting because it goes along with our conversation, said when I was talking about ping-ponging with the brownies, she said, I would struggle with the delicious food sitting there just waiting to be eaten. I guess it's the habit of thinking, no, not now, for it's not planned, which makes it easier. Yeah. I mean, you can always tell yourself, those brownies will be there all night long, right? If I get hungry, I can go get one. But remember, they weren't really that good with the first one I tried. Right? So you can do that too.
And I've learned to put one work food on my plan. That's how I've kind of, because I used to eat a lot more. So I'll put one work food. But then if it's good, then that work food goes throughout the night. And I'm like, I have to definitely do more ping ponging. That's a great idea. And I'll try the rhythm ball or putty.
One more.
Okay, breathe.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and that's honestly, that's something that you can do when you're hit with an urge too. Because if you breathe and just think about it for a minute rather than get impulsive and reactive, chances are you're gonna turn your you're gonna decrease your urge a little bit. You're gonna give your brain a chance to ping pong, right?
And I think it goes to some of my childhood where I was a sneaky kid. Like, nobody else is looking, go quick to the cupboard and get it before somebody else comes back. And I think that kicks in a little bit.
I hear
So.
you. I was the same way. I was the same way. Nobody will judge me. The funny thing is, you know how I found the kick that? It's a ping pong thought, right? They won't see me, but my pants will. Right? I mean,
Very
that's
good.
nobody else will see me, but I'll know it in my pants. And that really gave me thought, gave me pause. So you might think about that too. You know,
Okay.
is this worth, is it really, is this brownie worth the effort, worth the discovery worksheet, worth the emotional eating reset worksheet? Is it worth the beat down I'm going to give myself? You know, sometimes it's not.
I will look at those.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're
I
welcome. Is
appreciate it.
that helpful? That help will give you some
Yes.
ideas of other things you can do?
Yes, I will try them.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Okay,
Right. See ya. Bye.
bye-bye.
Awesome. Awesome. Alexis, you're next. One work food is interesting. I would almost try and pull Alexis up and talk at the same time. Okay. I would almost tell myself if I'm going to plan one work food, I would get real specific on my plan and say, one work food when I'm hungry, as a snack, if needed, if it looks like something amazing. You know, I would set the intention for that work food. You know, I don't usually plan a snack anymore, but if I do, I will put on there, let's say it's cheese, piece of cheese if needed. And that sends a signal to my brain that it's not going to be an automatic. I don't just get a piece of cheese or a work food. I get it under these conditions, and I will enjoy it under these conditions. Hi, Alexis.
Great call. Wow.
Good.
Really helpful.
Good.
So I specifically am looking for the feeling when I overeat to knock myself out.
Okay.
And I tell myself that nothing is quite as effective as knocking me out, or as enjoyable as knocking me out is food.
Okay. So tell me what knocking, let's just be clear about what knocking myself out means.
I numb myself out and then I'm so tired that I don't have to think and feel.
Okay. So how often does this happen?
A lot. A lot.
Like d weekly, daily, couple times a week,
A couple of
monthly?
times a week at least.
Okay.
I tend to overeat at night anyway because I think, okay, my day's done. Half the time I feel traumatized from like just dealing with my day. And I'm a highly sensitive person, and especially like taking public transit, it's just really wow, overwhelming for me. And I come home and then I think, okay, I deserve this. And I know it's not a reward anymore, Kathy. I know this. But yet in my head, I'm like, yeah, but it feels so good.
Okay. So what's happening during the day that you need to numb out for?
Well, I'm okay if I stay in my home. It's the going out in public and just I live in a city of 9 million people. It's a lot. Like, and especially now after COVID, mentally ill, on drugs, disturbed. Like, it used to be the exception that you would see that. Now it's the exception if you don't see it every day. And it's just, I don't know, that I find that very sad and disturbing and alarming and
Normal.
yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we see a lot of that, don't we?
Yeah.
Especially with the deinstitutionalization that has happened over the past 15 or 20 years, when people when the institutions all closed.
Yeah.
And I say that not as a political statement, but as a normalizing statement.
Right.
You see
Yeah.
these things every day. They make you sad.
And I remember, I'm at the age where I remember even, never mind 20 years ago, even 10 years ago, people were polite. They'd say, excuse me. Nobody does that anymore. And it's like, what has happened, you know? And I just kind of find, and I don't watch the news ever. You know, I've tried to limit my things, but to interact with the world, you know, you can't sort of get away from that.
So the question is, the real question is, when you see those things and you feel sad for those people, for the state of your neighborhood and the places that you see, Why do you have to eat to numb out? Why can't you just be sad? That's really, I can go outside my house, go downtown in Nashville, see homeless people, see, the same things you're seeing and feel sad for them. But it doesn't require me numbing out, right? I just have a feeling of sadness for those people. That
Yes.
empathetic, I don't know that I would consider myself, I don't know. I'm sensitive. I don't know what highly, I don't know how you describe highly sensitive. I'm pretty empathetic though. And I'm sad for those people. I want to help
Yeah.
them. I give to food banks. I help them in ways that I think are productive because I want to improve their lives in a way that, I think is the best way for me to do that. But it doesn't require me to numb out at night when I see those. So tell me why you have to numb the sadness.
You know, and I've worked with in the past with Corinne's mentor, and I've done all the sit with the feelings, describe the color, describe, you know, the shape, whatever. I gotta tell you, I none of that I've ever found to be helpful. So to answer your question, sitting with the feeling, it just never goes away. I can sit with it for 2 hours, and then it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. It doesn't dissipate.
So that's really interesting, and I'm glad you told me that. My mentor, the nervous system teacher, teaches a three-step process to process a feeling, to kind of work through a feeling that's not quite that deep.
Okay.
And the process is to acknowledge it, acknowledge and validate. Of course, yes, I feel sad. I see these people. The second one is to normalize it. Of course, I feel sad. That's the compassionate piece that allows you the ability to feel sad. Of course, I feel sad. I would love for these people to have homes, to have food, to, of course, I'm an empathetic person. And the third piece is to kind of picture in your body how that feels. Are you hunched over? Are you crying? That kind of thing. When you allow the feeling to present in your body, you have a name of it. You have the feelings in your body that you can associate with it. And if you allow that to be there for a little bit, it will burn off. Unless you're doing one of about six things, okay? If you're focusing too much on it, you're going to amplify it. If you're fighting it, like resisting it, you're going to amplify it. If you're trying too hard to fix it, you're going to amplify it. Right? If you're fretting over it, or if you're forlorn, just sad because it's there, you're amplifying it. But if you just go, you know what? That's sad. That's sad. It makes my stomach hurt a little bit. It makes my head hurt a little bit. I'm sorry for those people. And you just kind of be rather than amplify it or roll it over in your mind or focus too hard on it or ruminate on it, then it will burn off over time. Okay. It burns off every night, right? When you distract from it.
I think you said the missing link that I've never even heard before, is when you said normalize it. Because it seems to me like when I'll talk to my friends, they're like, "Oh, why do you let it get to you, Alexis?" So I kind of feel like I'm a freak for being so sensitive, because I see that other people are like no one else seems to be as concerned or as, do you know what I mean? So
Yeah,
I think.
so you're judging yourself for having the feeling.
Yes,
So you're
yes.
layering another, piece
Yeah.
onto it, right?
Yeah.
Rather than just, why would it be normal for you to feel sad when you see
Right.
these things or to
Because
feel a little dysregulated or out of place? Does
okay, yeah,
it?
because I've been telling myself there's something really wrong with you. Why can't you be like, you know, and I name my friends in my head, like they're okay with it, and you know, and I think, why can't I be different? Okay, so this is really helpful.
Yeah, I think we all have different capacities to feel. And I look at a capacity to feel like a spectrum, okay? Some people's capacity to feel is very narrow, right? And some people's get very wide. Maybe you have a wider capacity to feel. Maybe you feel more different types of emotions because you're highly sensitive and you're empathetic. That just makes you unique, and it gives you something to normalize for yourself. You know, this is just part of who I am. I am a person who feels deeply, and I love that about myself. I care
But
about
I
people.
don't love that about myself.
And that's the problem, right? Why wouldn't you love that about yourself? Because you think it's wrong,
Right.
right? Because someone has told you it's wrong. Here's Kathy on this other end of this Zoom call telling you it is perfectly okay. In fact, you're better off if you feel your feelings rather than eat through them.
Oh,
Because it
that I
is,
believe. But
yeah.
I just think that if I didn't have so many feelings, then I wouldn't pick up on all this other stuff that people are oblivious to. And I'd like to be like that too.
How could it be exactly the right thing for you because you pick up on feelings?
How could it be exactly the right thing? I was
How
born
does it
this
make
way.
sense that you feel those things?
I was born this way. I don't
Mm-hmm.
know
Maybe.
if you can help me out.
Yeah, you were born this way. So there's a little bit of self-acceptance. That's what we're going for. Right? I was born this way. Do you like it when you feel overabundant love?
Yes.
Yeah,
Yeah,
right.
I see where
So
you're going.
the spectrum, I mean, I'm going to try and describe this for the replay, but I have my hands in front of me, straight in front of me, about 6 inches apart. The emotional spectrum doesn't just go one direction. We can't just feel overabundant happiness, love, joy, and excitement without also inviting in the other end of the spectrum. You know, abundant sadness, helplessness, anger, that kind of thing. The spectrum moves out at the same rate on both sides. So if you are a person who has this capacity to feel, you're going to feel both sides. And just acknowledging and normalizing that piece for yourself can be exactly what's needed. And your capacity to feel rather than eat is the whole reason this call exists. So I want to give you permission to feel every feeling. In fact, for you, I'd pull out the, do you know where the feelings wheel is on the website under the
Yes.
resources tab on helpful worksheets?
Yeah.
I'd pull out that feelings wheel and I'd make a game out of it. How many different feelings can I feel? So maybe each day you go through and you check them off. And maybe you pick, maybe irritated is one. Now, why was I irritated? What was I thinking and how did it feel in my body? Okay, where was the tension? And then maybe, joyful was one. All right, why was I joyful? And how did that feel in my body? The more you can get to know your feelings, the more comfortable you are with feeling them and why they're there. You've been given the gift of a wide capacity to feel. So why not use that gift instead of eat through it?
This was better, honestly, than years of therapy, because I never saw it that way. Like, I've noticed, like, I'll say to people, oh, look at this sunset. And people are like, yeah, that's nice. The sun's going down. And I'm thinking, how do they not, like, see all the colors and the different and the feeling and the. So I never looked at it that way. Wow, this was super helpful. Wow, thank you so much.
So the next time you say, wow, look at that sunset, invite people to see it, but understand that nobody's going to see it like you see it. Nobody's going to see it like I see it, or like Alicia, Patricia, or Lori in the chat are seeing it. We're all going to have our different perspectives and our different ways of looking at things. And that's a beautiful thing. That's what makes us unique and special in the world. Okay, we're not all going to be cookie cutter people. Were you a Star Trek fan? Do you know Star Trek?
Not, I know the show. I didn't watch
Okay.
any episodes. It
There's
scares me, outer
y'all,
space.
outer space scares you. Y'all can give me a thumbs up in the chat if you know who the Borg are. Okay, so on
Yes,
one of the, do
I've
you know
seen
the
them.
Borg? They
Yeah.
call them the collective, right? Because they're all connected through their minds, and they all have the same thoughts. They all have the same everythings. They all move in the same way. It's like an army of one person. That's not how we're made. We're not the Borg.
Right.
You know, you have a high capacity to feel. I have a high capacity to talk and teach. Someone else has a high capacity to do something else. That's what makes us all blend together in the world. And the more you can realize that and embrace it and accept it about yourself, the better off you're going to be, and the less likely you are going to eat because you don't understand yourself or don't want to feel your feelings.
Thank you so much. I really look forward to listening to the replay. Yeah, this is great. Thank you.
That's helpful.
Oh, super helpful. Yeah.
Good. Awesome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. See ya. So Alicia says, feeling the feelings is where I need the most work. So I would encourage you, Alicia, to go to anybody who's on this call who wants to link the feelings wheel. I believe it's on the helpful resources page. Go ahead and link it in the chat so that everybody can go and just kind of open it up and look at all the different things that you're allowed to feel, that I encourage you to feel, so that you can get to know yourself better. Under what circumstances do you feel different feelings? Because if you can acknowledge it, name it, validate it, normalize it, and actually feel it in your body, it's going to be so much easier for you to process, so much easier for you to understand. And you're not going to have to eat. You're not going to eat through it. It's just a beautiful thing. Beautiful. Stephanie, you are next. Let's see if Stephanie's coming. Awesome. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm okay. This is my first time getting coached too, so I'm slightly nervous.
Okay. You all right? Need deep breath or anything?
Yeah, that'd probably be good.
Okay. Let's all do that. Let's all take a deep breath. Blow it out nice and hard.
Okay. So
Good to do that, doesn't it?
it did. I do. I already feel better.
Okay. What you got, Stephanie?
So I'm going through so many like really hard life changes right now. I filed for divorce in June. It was actually finalized in August. I thought for sure that was what I wanted. And now, let's see, it's October. I found out my ex-husband is already dating someone. And I'm not taking it well. And so I definitely got some good information from the last person that was coached, but I feel like I need help feeling these really hard, deep feelings. And it, well, I don't want to feel them.
So why are you upset that your ex-husband is dating?
One, because it's too soon. Two, we have small children together, and I just don't want him introducing this person to them too soon. It is someone that he used to work with, which makes me feel like there was something going on before, and that's why it happened so fast. He won't admit that, but of course, it's just a
Why does that, why does that even matter now?
It just makes me feel like everything in the marriage was a lie.
Okay.
And like, I want, there's like an emotional part of me that's like, I want him back. I want my family back. And then there's the logical part of me that's like, but why would you?
So everything was a lie. You can't substantiate just yet. He's not admitting to it. It's a thought. It's your brain trying to, here's what our brains do, Stephanie. They try to solve problems, whether they're there or not. So you see, you perceive your husband, ex-husband, dating someone as a problem. Okay. So your brain is trying to solve for it. Maybe this was happening beforehand. Why is it happening so soon? You see what I'm saying? Brain is trying to close that loop. So it's giving you things to think about that may or may not be true. So I need you to like see that, understand that, because when I asked you, why is this a problem? You kind of got around to, I'm not sure if this is what I really want, right? Yeah. Is that the core problem here?
I don't know if the core problem is like that I'm having second thoughts or like buyer's remorse, or if the core problem is really that I just feel abandoned and rejected.
So if we think about abandoned and rejected, that piece of you, does it want him back or does it want anyone to love you?
Anyone to love me.
Yeah. That's it. Don't you think that's important to acknowledge?
It's hard to acknowledge, though.
Why is it hard to acknowledge?
Because then it's more about what I perceive to be wrong with me versus what I perceive to be wrong with him.
Yeah. Gonna tell you something. Blame is so much easier because it's not about us, it's about the other person. But when we dive into what's really creating the feeling for us? It's usually something we think about ourselves, especially if we're trying to project, he must think this about me or she must think that about me, kind of like our last person. They think something's wrong with me. It's really you having not yet admitting, I couldn't get my ings in the right place, not yet admitting that that's what you're thinking about yourself. Okay. And I think that's what you just admitted. Yeah. So tell me what Stephanie thinks about Stephanie. Give me one sentence.
Stephanie thinks Stephanie is not good enough.
And Stephanie has a long list of reasons why that thought is probably true, right?
Yes.
But is it really true? Tell me what Stephanie is good enough at. This is interesting. Is she a good enough mom? You only get a yes or no, girl.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Is she a good enough daughter?
No, probably not, but that's a whole other call.
Okay. Do you have a job?
Yes.
Are you good enough at your job?
Yes.
Yeah. There are things that you are good enough at. And good enough is not even excellent, right? It's not even like superb, amazing being of the world. But good enough is good enough to hold a job and take care of your kids, right? Good enough is also someone who looks out for themselves when they're not in a marriage that's fulfilling them. What do you think about that?
What I've been bringing myself to think about is how much of my lack of fulfillment came from what he did or didn't do versus how much came from my perspective and my negative thought processes. And so then that leads me to guilt of, was it really that bad, or am I just like, do I just have this deep character flaw that I only see the negative? And, that.
deep character flaw? Or is your brain trying to solve a problem?
I don't know.
You don't know?
It doesn't feel true to say that it's trying to, my brain trying to solve a problem. Like that doesn't feel true.
Okay. That's what's happening. Your brain is trying to make sense of this whole situation. And it's questioning. It's now because you feel abandoned and rejected, I think is what you said. Because you feel abandoned and rejected, it's trying to find out why. Okay, so it might be his fault, but it might be your fault too. Maybe, that's what it's doing. It's like trying to solve the problem because you feel abandoned and rejected. But the real reason you feel abandoned and rejected is because of the way you talk to yourself about the situation. Okay, so if you think about this old cognitive model that we used to do, a thought, what you're thinking creates how you're feeling. So if you're thinking, I should have done more, I wasn't good enough, I didn't fulfill the marriage, maybe I made the wrong choice, all that kind of stuff that you've been telling me, it's going to lead you into a feeling that doesn't feel good. Right?
That makes sense, yes.
Yeah. But if you move more toward the facts of the situation, which were divorce, he's dating. I guess we could call it a fact that you're really not ready for your kids to be exposed to her. Then you can sort of write a different story. It might not be a rosy story, but it might be, this is my life right now, and this is how I want to manage it. Without looking backwards, without questioning the past, this is where I am right now in the present today. You with me?
Yeah.
Corinne always says if you argue with the past, you're going to lose. The
Okay.
past is now the facts, right? This is like what I said. Filed, divorced, he's dating. That's the facts. Who's the person you want to be in this situation? Because you can create her. You can be that person. You can be the person that ruminates on the past to see if she did something wrong to create this. Or you can be the person that says, all right, here's today. How many kids do you have?
Two.
I've got these two beautiful kids. I'm their mom. And I'm taking care of business. I'm going to work every day and taking my kids to school, daycare, wherever they go, moms, wherever they go.
Yeah.
If you stay in the present, you have so much more opportunity for decisions. If you're trying to figure out the past, it's not changing. The past is written.
Okay.
So what are you thinking? Are you with me? Or are you like, man, this girl is full of hooey?
No, I mean, I'm with you, and I think like I have this pendulum. Ugh, I can't get my words either. Of yes, like that is what I want. I want to be this empowered and independent person who is using this opportunity to, better myself, better my life, better be better for my kids. And then it swings this way to I'm just this like terrified little girl with no one to take care of her.
Okay. There's the emotion right there. So when you see the terrified little girl with no one to take care of her in one piece of you, and you have this other piece of you that's doing her best every single day, right? You can actually have a conversation between the two. So this part of Stephanie that is here on this call, doing her best, trying to learn how to be, empowered, I think you said, and independent. She's got your best interest in mind. She's looking forward.
Yes.
So she might say to this other, did you call her a little girl? Little girl, terrified little girl part of you, and say, I know this is hard. I see you. I notice that you're there. And I got this. We're figuring it out one day at a time, one hour at a time. And it's okay that she's there. It's okay that the terrified little piece of you is there because you can't see the future. You're creating a new future, but you
Right.
create it every, one moment at a time. So you kind of, it would be really interesting for you to journal a conversation between these two pieces of yourself, the terrified little girl and the one that wants to be empowered and is figuring it out every single day. What do you think of that? Is that too out there, too woo, or does that make sense to you?
No, that like makes a lot of sense. Of course, there's a part of me that's scared to do that because I feel like that's going to be really heavy. But I think if I'm honest about it, it could be really helpful.
Let's practice it. Okay.
Oh,
Let's
okay.
practice. I mean, because it doesn't have to be. You can start. Here's how you can start. Put your hands right here. Okay. Press in. And let's use we instead of I. Okay. Because we're gonna put two of them together. We're safe right here in the moment. We are doing the best that we can. We're taking it day by day. We're doing okay at work. We're handling the kids. And it's okay if I'm scared sometimes. How does that feel?
It feels good.
Yeah. It's back to acknowledging that it's okay to be scared, that it's okay to be writing a new future, to be creating a new life. But it's okay to be doing that in the present, moment by moment. So when you feel yourself start thinking about the past and start trying to solve for the past and figuring it out and all that, I want you to go, I notice I'm thinking about the past right now, and it's not helpful. What I
Okay.
need is right here in the moment, in the present, to figure out my next step, to just take one small step.
Okay.
Tell me what you're thinking.
Right now, I feel like I can do this and that I can be okay. And then, the little back and forth is you have to remember to do this and do actually do these things and say these things when it, you don't feel like you're going to be okay.
Did I see your accountability partner in the chat?
I think so,
Uh-huh.
probably.
I bet she can help you remember. That's the
Yeah.
beautiful thing about having a good, solid accountability partner, right?
She is very solid.
Yeah. And you always have this call recording now too. So you
Yeah.
can always come back here and just start with we, with your hand on your heart. Talking about both of those pieces of you, the terrified little girl and the part of you that's working on being independent and empowered. And then when you're ready, you can start the conversation between the two of them. This is, this independent part of you, this one that's working on being empowered, might say to her, like I said, it's okay. Of course, you're scared. You hadn't done this before.
Yeah.
We're figuring it out one step at a time. Because you are, right?
Yeah.
Kids are home. Kids are safe. Kids are healthy. Work's going okay. You're on this call. You're taking care of yourself. You have to remind yourself of that sometimes.
Yeah. For sure. I do feel a lot better.
I'm glad. I want you to listen to this call. I want you to really think about it. And I want you to come to Ask Coaches when you're ready. And tell me about your conversation between
Okay.
the pieces.
I can.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Thank you so much, Kathy.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Okay. Let's see what's in the Q&A. When you've been resting all day, not at work, no major chores, no kiddos, no family, what statements would you suggest I repeat to myself to take that evening rest? That depends on the type of rest you need, Robin. Sometimes, you can be resting all day and need sensory rest or need creative rest, right? So I think it depends. I think you fill in the gaps with the different types of rest based on what you need. So if you are edgy at night and you have been physically resting all day, you might need some other kind of rest. You might need spiritual rest or sensory rest or creative rest or social rest even. Okay, so I think you ask yourself, what is it I really need right now? And then fill the gap with whatever type of rest that you need. Does that make sense? All right. I don't have any other hands, y'all. Let's check this chat real quick, see if there's anything else I need to address. I love this. Stephanie's accountability partner was here. Lori says, I saw on Facebook where there's an app that will take a picture of you as a child and a picture of adult you and create a picture of the two of you hugging. Yes. I think it was last month's call. I actually talked to a member. You can go back and look at it. And we did just a little bit of this inner child work where she knew that the fear that she was having came from her childhood. And we talked a little bit back and forth about how she, as adult her, could comfort that childlike piece. Because what happens is, if we don't solve for that piece that happened to us in our childhood, if we don't solve for that through our lives, it's going to keep coming back, even though it's not really relevant anymore. I'll give you an example. Good grief. Who wasn't bullied at some point, right? So I have a bullying story too. Fourth grade, Kathy was bullied. And I did not know that I still held that piece of me, that uncertainty, that insecurity in me until I was with my own coach. And she had me kind of talk to, I mean, I'm 59 years old, y'all. When I was in the fourth grade, what was I? 4 plus 5, 9 years old. She had me write a letter to 9-year-old me that said, you know what? I'm grown now. I've got this. If somebody's going to bully me, I'm going to walk away. I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm a stronger human now. I don't, we don't have to be afraid anymore. And just doing that is so healing with that piece of you that still carries that fear. So you might think about that. You might think about if that's something, if that's work that you want to do, we can do that on this call. We can do it in private coaching. We can do it, if you're at camp, we can do it in the hallway, anything like that, okay? But it's a really interesting way to take care of yourself, for sure. All right. Does anybody have anything else? Anything for the Q&A? Anything in the chat? I think the chat is available in the replays. I think that I think. You know, I usually do the replays on the private member podcast, but if you'll check on the website, I think the chat transcripts are there. Anything else, y'all? There might be another question. Oh, good. I'm trying not to let my brother's severe depression affect me. I noticed that I have allowed it to affect me in a negative way. I try to encourage him and do like how I show up for him, but not how I show up for myself. I think about worst case scenarios. I'm not eating and feel overwhelmed. Any advice? Yes. I think a lot of us, anonymous, a lot of us go through this kind of thing. When someone else in our sphere is having a hard time, we love them enough to care about them. And that's probably what's happening to you. I think of my husband's sister. right now, who we're very close to, is having some pretty significant health issues right now. And when she calls and she is upset, it upsets me. Okay. But that's because I love her and I care about her and I want what's best for her. I allow it to upset me and I don't try to focus on it or fix it, kind of like we were talking to Alexis about earlier in the call. You want to show up for yourself, knowing that if you are supporting yourself, you're able to support them in more and in better ways. Okay. So I want you to think about it like that. You might be going to worst case scenarios. That's never helpful. That's catastrophizing. What you want to do is stay present with what you know and take care of yourself so that if he needs you, you can help him as well. Okay. Heather says, how do I keep going when it feels like I'm making improvements, but the scale just isn't moving? Heather, here's what I want you to do. I want you to write to Ask Coaches. Me, Lisa, Lizzie, Betsy, we're all in Ask Coaches. I want you to give us your stats. Okay. And what that means is I want you to tell us how often you are getting your water in, getting your sleep in, eating when you're hungry, and stopping at enough. Because if we have some data, and we can ask you a few questions, we can figure out why the scale is not moving. That's the always the best way to handle that kind of thing. Okay. When you continue to make improvements, you expect the scale to move, but there might be a missing piece that we can see to help you with. Okay. All right, everybody. I think that's it. I think that's everything. I hope you have a good evening. Thank you for being here. If you need anything at all, find us, look us up in Ask Coaches, hit us up in the Facebook group. We just love being here for you. Okay? Have a good evening, and I will see you soon. Okay.